one example that I use a lot is thinking about how your parents dealt with money, because that's how you grew up with money. So if your parents argued about money, do you want to talk about money with your spouse? Or are you going to say, well, my parents argued about money and they got divorced, so I don't really want to talk about money with my spouse. It's probably not going to go very well. And that's what happens. We attach those emotions to money.
Join me weekly as we unlock strategies to elevate every aspect of your life through the power of mindset. If you enjoy the show, subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
As Benjamin Franklin once said, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. And today, we have Tony Stewart on the show. And Tony is an internationally recognized financial preparedness advocate. And he's an award-winning author, and he's also a podcaster who's changing the way that we think about money. He has over a decade of experience challenging the status quo, particularly in the life insurance industry. He's developed the Get Ready Money Club to help empower us and educate people on all areas of personal finance. We're going to dive into money mindset and what keeps people stuck with really realizing their goals from a financial perspective. Welcome to the show.
Jack, I'm glad to be here and, you know, excited to talk about this because I think mindset is something we need to talk more about with money.
Agreed. And I know that about 10 years into your career, you started challenging the status quo in the life insurance space. Can you share with us what led to that decision and how it impacted your own career?
Yeah. So where it was is I started off as a life insurance agent. And I realized over the course of the 10 years as I was working with other advisors, and I found that, you know, there was a resistance to them to talk about life insurance with their clients. And the clients I worked with didn't really understand the insurance products that they were buying. But then a lot of it was, you would say, okay, well, the person I bought it from didn't explain it to me. And so I realized that a big part of it was education, is understanding the products. But the other part of it was the psychology with the clients. Is I was a finance major in college with a lot of psychology and philosophy classes. So, you know, I'd always been interested in how people think about things. And so it struck me that we were thinking about life insurance the wrong way, that even other advisors questioned why life insurance people were doing something in a certain way, and consumers didn't really understand the products that they were buying or why they were buying them.
Yeah, that's a big problem. There's some fear naturally with a lot of consumers when it comes to financial products like insurance, because as you know, there's a policy involved with that. And a lot of consumers don't read the policy. So there has to be a very strong degree of trust with your advisor so that you know that they're putting you on the right path and they're not steering you in the wrong direction.
Yeah, 100%. And one of the issues in the industry is there's a high turnover rate for insurance agents. So a lot of the insurance agents that people work with, the first thing you're told when you come into the life insurance industry, or it used to be the first thing you were told, is go out and sell to your friends and family. And so people who really don't know much are out selling these products they don't really understand that can actually be very complex financial vehicles to their family and friends. And then once they run out of that network, you know, they sometimes phase out of the industry. But then you also have all these family and friends who've bought these policies and they question why they've bought them. And that's a long-term problem for the industry, is because, you know, they'll terminate the policies. A high percentage of cash value permanent life policies like whole life and equity index universal life, which are popular products, terminate in the first 5 years. And that's because people go, what did I buy? I don't really need this. And that's especially true because, you know, with family and friends, you know, the person who sold them the policy isn't even in the industry anymore. They're paying these premiums. They didn't really need the policy. You know, they bought it because it was a family member or the friend who was selling it to them. And then they don't want to buy life insurance in the future because they go, oh, boy, that was a really bad experience. Mm,
yeah.
You know, where do I go from here?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, it's funny, life insurance or any insurance product, I think, becomes very valuable to people when they need it, when they use it. And if they were left without it, and there's something that happens, some catastrophic event in their lives, that's where the regret, the wishing that I've had the policy to begin with. So like, I completely understand that. And I've had those feelings myself over the years. So I can appreciate that. But let's shift a focus here for a moment, because what I want to do is I want to talk about money. Because one of the things that I know that you talk about quite a bit is one of the biggest things that hold people back from taking control over their money is how they think about money and how they view money. Can you, in your words, elaborate a little bit on this and share an example of how changing the way that we view money can actually lead to a better financial outcome?
Yeah, well, we talked about one thing that I think is really important is, you know, that history of dealing with a financial service or product. You know, so many of us have had these bad experiences around money that we shut down around them. But I think a big thing that's missed, and what I really learned in my career, is that people focus on the product rather than their goal. And what I mean by this is Bitcoin is a great example. Everybody talks about, like, well, you know, should I buy Bitcoin or not? And I don't think that's the right question. I think the right question is, this is my goal. I'd like to achieve financial independence, retire when I'm age 60. Then the question should be, because you have your goal, is Bitcoin the right tool to help me get to my goal? And I think that's the conversation that we need to change. You know, it gets back to what we were talking about with life insurance. You know, that person coming in is like, hey, life insurance will solve all your problems, you know, buy life insurance. But that's not really the question. The question is, like you said, is somebody wants life insurance to take care of their family when they pass away. So it's like, are you finding the right tool to meet that goal? So I think that's the biggest thing that people can change, is to define their goals and then work from their goals to find the right tool.
And that's gold, Tony, because it's extraordinarily true when it comes to finances. And it's also universally true with anything that we want to achieve in our lives. It's starting with the end game and creating kind of what I call reverse engineering a plan to be able to ensure that you're going to meet or exceed your goal. And without a plan, it's almost like, I'm a sailor, so if I get in a boat, in a sailboat, and I don't have a compass, especially if I can't see land, I'm in trouble. I'm probably going to be sailing in circles for quite some time. And it's true, very true when it comes to finances. Why do you think, though, that many folks have an apprehension to really looking at their total financial picture, looking at debt, looking at income? Do I have more income or less income coming into my life right now? I've got more debt going out. Can I increase my income? Why do you suppose that we're not looking at this logically and really saying, okay, in the next 2 years, the next 5 years, next 10 years, here's what I want to achieve, and here's the plan that I need to follow in order to be able to get there?
Well, I think the biggest hurdle is that the financial services industry and all the products are so complex that people just feel like, I can't even deal with this. I don't even know where to start. You know, everything is so complex. You know, I get my retirement package from my employer, and I have these options for a 401k and, you know, automatic contributions. But what is a 401k? How is that going to actually help me get to my retirement? So it's that type of thing that I think keeps people from moving forward, is because, like you said, people have their goals and they know what they want to do. Everybody knows that they need to spend less money than they earn. That's not a shocker. But like you said, people are doing that, and it's because, you know, they start looking at it and they go, oh man, I have my credit cards. I have my mortgage. I have these things. How do I prioritize what I do? You know, I have all this debt. What do I do with it? But there's not a lot of tools. And that's why I created the Get Ready Method with the weekly action items. You know, it's like I talk about, like, well, pay off your highest credit card debt first and provide people with an actionable step instead of just saying, like you said, you got to pay off your debt. Debt is bad. Well, debt is not always necessarily bad. Right. High interest rate debt is bad, and that's what's going to get you. But that's what I think intimidates people, is they go, oh man, there's so many things. I don't understand the language that people are using. It's a jargon that the financial services industry uses, like any profession. Every profession has their jargon, but we don't try to make it easier for our clients. For example, when you go to see your doctor, you know, your doctor could present you with a bunch of jargon, and some doctors do, but the best doctors are the one who'll say, well, you know, if your knee is bugging you, here's our plan, and here's why I'm thinking this will work for you. And they try to make it simple so the patients can understand, instead of telling you the history of knees and why these different knee surgeries are the best, which is what happens in the financial services industry. You know, somebody will say, well, this is why this is the best investment. If you compare these to all the other investments, you know, this is one, instead of just saying, like, look, what are you trying to accomplish? And here's some things to think about. So that's what I think is the biggest issue.
All roads go back to, what do you want? And what are you willing to sacrifice to be able to achieve that at the other end of that time trajectory? And, you know, of course, the show, we talk about mindset. There's a lot of conversations around mindset, and it applies in so many different ways. You mentioned something earlier about debt, and I happen to agree with you. For most people that I've spoken with, thousands of people in the middle of transition, and they're at a point in their lives where it's time for them to invest into new skills or into a new business that they want to build, all roads always lead back to this fear of investing in themselves. And when it comes to debt, to your point, is that there is good debt and there is bad debt. And I think a lot of people are familiar with the bad debt, which is the consumer related debt. It's the debt that, you know, feels good. We go on vacation. We enjoy the experience. We've got a memory that's wonderful. We buy clothing. We go out to dinner, and we do all the things that debt will eventually pile onto itself. But it's that debt that sticks around for a while, unless you've got enough financial resources to be able to pay it off as you go along, which is the best scenario. But for some people, it just follows them. But flip the narrative on that. If you're looking to learn something, if you're looking to improve your life, maybe it's improving your skills or something along those lines, and you accumulate that type of debt, well, that's going to have a payoff down the road that could be exponentially higher than anything that you invested in yourself. So there is good and bad debt, and I think that there's a bit of a disconnect. But that is more of a mindset-related view of what people automatically think debt is versus what it could be, to your point.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Is there's so many popular personal finance experts who will say things like, you got to pay off all your debt, or, you know, all these different things that, you know, we don't take a look at what's going to work for somebody. Give up your daily coffee. Well, that's not going to make you a millionaire, giving up your daily coffee. But, you know, it's that type of thing where it's like you said, is like, well, what's going to help me accomplish my goals? Is debt going to help me accomplish my goals? And in some cases, you need debt to accomplish your goals, like buying a house. Most of us can't pay cash to buy a house, so you need a mortgage. So then the question really is, are you getting the most efficient mortgage? Are you getting the most efficient debt to buy a house? I mean, are you going to run up your credit cards to buy a house? Most people know that you're not going to do that. They're going to get a mortgage, which is much more favorable to you. And so that's the change in the mindset again, is like, how are you going to accomplish your goal? What's the most efficient way to do so?
100%. And the idea of one using debt to develop wealth is foreign to a lot of people, not to the people that are doing it, of course, not to the people who leverage themselves and leverage other types of lending institutions and financial opportunities to be able to put themselves in a good position. It's just it's a mathematical equation. If you borrow money at X and you're able to generate more money at Y, well, then is that a bad investment?
And that's the important thing, is you've stripped out the emotion right there. Is a lot of this is math and thinking about it. And that's, you have to take out that emotions. And that can be very hard to do. There's so many emotions that are tied into money. One example that I use a lot is thinking about how your parents dealt with money, because that's how you grew up with money. So if your parents argued about money, do you want to talk about money with your spouse? Or are you going to say, well, you know, my parents argued about money and they got divorced. So I don't really want to talk about money with my spouse. It's probably not going to go very well. And that's what happens. We attach those emotions to money.
Yeah. And I had a phenomenal guest on the show, Sally Maxwell, and she was talking about these very important conversations among couples that must be had, but they must be had in such a way where both parties are open to really looking at things, to really just be honest about the situation. It is what it is. It will stay the same way if nothing changes. So it's important to dig in and figure out what the game plan is. Now, you've developed habits that can empower people with their money. Can you share one or two of these habits and explain how they can really transform somebody's financial life?
Well, one we've talked about quite a bit, that's a G in get ready, and that's thinking about your goals first rather than product. And I just want to emphasize that because I think that's the most important thing people can do. E is for educate yourself. The more knowledge you have and the more questions you ask, and that's something I think people need to do, is to be more curious about their money. Is oftentimes they get run over by members of the financial services industry because they're intimidated to ask the questions about money. They feel like they were in classes. You know, if you're a kid who raises your hand and says, I don't know what a deductible is, the teacher's going to look at you and say, well, everybody knows what a deductible is. But nobody does know what a deductible is, because where did we learn that? It's not covered in your college classes mm-hmm. or high school classes. So it's becoming educated. You can master anything if you put in the time to study it. And that's my belief with money. That's why I'm a huge proponent of the financial literacy movement, is because if you go in and you learn something, you're going to be much more able to master it. One of the other things is focusing on details, which is the D in get ready, is because I think that's the other thing that's missed. And I go back to the John Wooden quote. It's, oh boy, now I forgot the quote now that I bring it up. But, you know, it's about focusing on the details. It's not the big thing. It's the little things that matter and being able to execute those little things. And I think people oftentimes miss that with their money, is they don't focus on the details like we've been talking about with the interest rates. Mortgage debt is tax deductible up to a certain limit. So yeah, that's better debt than credit card debt, which is not tax deductible. So you have to focus on those details to really be able to achieve something. And here's another quick detail that I'll throw in there is, so let's say you're comparing two different exchange traded funds or mutual funds. One has a 2% annual expense charge and one has a 1% annual expense charge, and they're identical in every other aspect. Is you can save yourself a lot of money if you know that you can save yourself 1% on the annual expense charges. So it's that focusing on details where I think people can really make a difference with their financial lives.
Yeah, I agree with you. Knowledge is certainly the first important step here, and getting exposed to people. And look, we all know that you exist in this world because this is what you do. You know it. You live it. You breathe it every day. And the complexities around it, the nuances around it. But for those that don't have that knowledge, it's important to get up to speed, but you don't have to do it alone, essentially. If you trust the people that you're doing business with or thinking of doing business with, that's pretty much all you need. You don't have to be an expert in everything. But you do need to know what options are available. And really, going back to what you said earlier, I think the biggest takeaway is what do you want and what does that plan look like to be able to get there? I think that's really key.
People who've bought my book or enrolled in the Get Ready Money Club, which is a free program, is that they felt like they've been able to take control of their financial lives, that they know what their priorities are and what to do next. Is the Get Ready system is basically 52 weekly action items to repeat every year that covers all areas of your financial life. So the feedback that I've gotten from people is that it helps them to know what to do next and how to do it. One of the weekly action items is have a family communication meeting. Meet with your spouse and your kids and talk about the budget and things going on in the house. And just have that conversation. And for people, that's been a huge thing. Is they'll go, well, you know, like we talked about earlier, I haven't really talked to my spouse about money in a long time because I don't want to. But I don't even know how to start that conversation. So I have a couple of conversation starters for people, because that's also important. We can say, well, talk to your wife about money, or your husband, or your domestic partner, or whatever. But we don't say, okay, well, here's how you do it. Here's what you're going to talk about. We don't give them that next step. And that's what I'm really trying to provide, is just, you know, a couple bullet points. Here's what to do. Here's how to do it. And then go from there.
Yeah, I love that. And for younger people out there in their early 20s or 30s, the one benefit that you have that us older guys don't have anymore is time. You have time on your side. And so anytime that I would talk to a younger person, I would, you know, ask them, what is your plan? Are you saving some money, or is it just, are you just having fun? You should have fun. But if you get ahead of things and you start using the power of time and the power of compounding, it's only going to benefit you as you get older. But for the older people, the older folks, somebody that might be nearing retirement or maybe has reached retirement and are short in their nest eggs, what would you say to that person who feels that maybe they've run out of time and aren't able to enjoy the fruits of the rest of their life?
Well, I think it's never too late. That there's always things you can do, like we've talked about, at the margins. So let's say you've got $50,000 in your retirement account. You haven't saved a lot of money. Then it becomes really important to focus on the expense charges. Can you get your expense charges down to a quarter of a point, which is 0.25%, you know, versus 2%? That's going to save you a lot of money on your $50,000. You know, when is the best time to take Social Security? That can matter for you. Do a little research, because I think everybody's going to get Social Security. We can have another conversation on that. But Social Security is going to be around for the most part. People may get less than they planned on, but it's going to be around. It's not going to run out. Mm-hmm. So, think about that. When are you going to take Social Security? How are you going to set up your Medicare healthcare plan? You know, are you optimizing the deductible and the copay? Do you have the right doctors in your network? I mean, or are you paying more to go out of network to get your prescription and see your doctor? So there's still a lot of things you can do. And the Get Ready Weekly system, those are the things that I try to help people to think about. Like, are you paying for your monthly checking account? You know, that's something. You know, maybe it's $10 a month that you save, but that's still $10. You know, so it's like those little things that you can do. So I think it's never too late. The numbers are maybe a little smaller, and you may not be able to live in a huge mansion, but there are things you can do to be more efficient with your money.
Yeah, it sounds like your resources covers a lot of very creative ways for people to navigate this and become more fiscally responsible and planning for the future. So obviously that's a great resource for folks to tap into. You know how life is for people. They finish listening to, let's say, our podcast, and then life gets in the way and they become very busy. Can you come up with one tip, one takeaway for somebody that will help put them on at least the path that they can continue to walk on?
Of course. The one tip is to be curious and ask questions. If you don't ask questions, you're not going to learn something. So if you don't remember anything else, just remember the next time you're thinking about a financial service or product, be curious, ask questions, know what you're buying.
I think that's phenomenal. Curiosity is the biggest takeaway in everything that we do, especially if we want to improve a certain area of our lives. So, Tony, that's gold. And I want to thank you for sharing your insights with us. And to our friends of the show, if you've been inspired by Tony's message, remember, changing your financial future starts with changing how you think about money and how you view it. Tony, I'm going to add your contact information to the show notes so that everybody has an ability to be able to reach out to you. But just tell everybody how they can reach you right now as they're listening to the show.
Well, you can go to my website. It's tonystewart.com. Definitely, you can look at the show notes to make sure you're spelling it correctly. You can sign up for the Get Ready Money Club. Like I mentioned, it's free. I have lots of resources. You know, it's sort of my give back after being in the financial services industry for so long. So it's always going to be free. Or you can find me, for the most part, on LinkedIn.
Yeah, perfect. And I will include your LinkedIn profile and your website address. Tony, I want to thank you for your time. I know that you're a busy man. I think that our listeners will appreciate your wisdom and at least open up their minds a little bit towards exploring some options that maybe they're not aware of at this time. But to our friends of the show, keep investing in your mind to live your best life. We'll see you soon.